This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Pretty much talked off of the playbook of the Democratic agenda that he's been pushing, so I don't think there's any surprise to that. To me, maybe the surprise was there wasn't as much focus on the Ukraine as I thought there might be. There was in the very beginning of his State of the Union, but he didn't linger and stay on it as long as I thought perhaps he would. Some of the parts of the address included, he invited the Ukrainian ambassador to the U.S. So as an honored guest of the State of the Union. So of course there were cheers from Democrats and Republicans. They all rose to their feet, and so that's, you know, he said we the United States of America stand with the Ukrainian people. So that was a pardonish kind of moment, I suppose, right? And then there were other moments where he talked about COVID and talked about it's one of the worst developments of the last 2 years, that it's become a political football, and that let's stop looking at COVID-19 as a partisan dividing line and see it for what it is, a god-awful disease. And went on to say we can't change how divided we've been. We can change how we move forward on COVID-19 and other issues we must face together. One interesting moment was where he said fund the police, because Democrats have been facing a lot of calls from probably the most liberal members of their party to defund the police. And that after some of the high-profile police shootings with people of color. So the fact is that I think most people have little interest in pulling money away from police departments. So he actually went against someone in his party's base by saying that the answer is not to defund the police, it's to fund the police, fund them. And so there was, again, a lot of applause, and there was kind of that bipartisan, if I want to call it that, moment where there was an agreement among a lot of the people in the chamber. And then he used lines like thanks to my Republican friends, and he acknowledged that there were real differences of opinion on major issues. He said it's important for us to show the nation we can come together on things and do big things. And then he proposed a series of proposals addressing the opioid crisis and taking care of veterans, and that he believed that could be done on a bipartisan basis. And then who's necessarily going to criticize this? He acknowledged the retiring Supreme Court justice who got a lot of applause for his years on the court. And of course, that's Stephen Breyer. And it was kind of a rare minute or two, I'd say, of motion in a kind of a formal, speech. There were things that also happened. You could hear clearly in the chamber Colorado's Boebert, Congresswoman Boebert, and Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene, who are part of the House Freedom Caucus. They refused to applaud Biden's cabinet, when he was introduced, and took their seats in the House chamber. And you could hear there were some yells that happened, here and there throughout some of what he had to, had to say. So, I mean, this was a typical State of the Union address, I thought. Like I mentioned at the top, there wasn't a lot of focus on the Ukraine at all. So except for, you know, getting rid of oligarchs, basically, taking away anything that had to do with Russian oligarchs, from yachts to other gains, as he called them, ill-gotten gains, and talked about the Ukrainians a bit, like I mentioned, but that was most of what he focused on there. I think that there were moments that he missed, and of course there were moments of mispronunciation and moments that there were some stumbles, and there were interesting things to contrast, I suppose, when you look at, again, the moments that he talked about in his speech. And one of the moments that a lot of Republicans, of course, will seize on, and Fox seized on, that was mixing up Iranians and Ukrainians, where he, when he was doing that State of the Union speech, referred to the Ukrainians as Iranians, while discussing the turmoil in Europe as Russia continued the invasion into the Ukraine. And specifically the line was, Putin may circle Kyiv with tanks, but he'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people. And you saw, you know, again, some moments, you saw some smirks of, you know, saying that, and on Twitter, and you saw people on Twitter seize on that, where he said, did he say Iranian people, or did I mishear that? I was looking at Laura Ingraham's feed, and she said, did Biden say the Iranian people? And I saw something from Clay Travis, where he said Joe Biden just said Putin will never weaken the will of the Iranian people. He meant to say the Ukrainian people, good Lord. And so you saw that, you saw that in Twitter feeds and whatnot, the gaffe that he made. And I think the first person I saw that had something about that, it was David Mack. He said, I think Biden just accidentally called the Ukrainian people the Iranian people. So there you go, right? But again, there wasn't anything that came out of the speech, like I said, State of the Union speech, that I thought was glaring and incredibly exciting. I think it was interesting that the focus was on mostly the Democratic agenda, the things that are happening, that are being pushed with child care, etc., as part of a bill that the president wanted to have go through right from almost the very beginning of his administration. So that was kind of piecemealed out, if you will. And like I mentioned, declaring the pandemic reset, saying COVID need no longer control our lives. That was just another remark that you pull out, because, of course, COVID is the thing that we've all been dealing with in different ways in the last 2.5-3 years. And I wondered where he would take it when it came to the pandemic. Trust me, when we get to the mailbag, you had plenty of comments as well, and we'll do that coming up later this hour.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller, lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Ibarroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money at a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Once again, thanks so much for hanging with us. Kate Delaney's my name. If you have any thoughts, you can always send them to me. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. So I mentioned a couple of broad strokes, some of those bipartisan moments, I suppose, at least applause-wise, when we're talking about the Ukraine and some of the pandemic, perhaps, and then obviously sticking points that would definitely not fly with anybody looking at what's happened in the beginning of the administration and what's gone on for just over a year and what is the part of the agenda that the president has struggled with and has not gone through. And those were big moments, I think, that he pulled apart and threw into that speech. All right, in the meantime, so what is going on with Russia and Zelensky, the man who is trying to save the Ukraine, I suppose, with his leadership and what's going on in the streets and some of the big areas in the Ukraine? The war is expanding, and there is one area that's kind of a tourist hub that has become sort of a refuge for people who are displaced. There's a main train station that now has a massive amount of people trying to leave the country, and the city's residents of Lviv are opening up their homes to other people who have been displaced by the fighting. And this is not just, I think, in one particular corner of the Ukraine. That's starting to happen in other areas, too, but particularly where that train station is, because they're trying to get to the Polish border. And you have children, 10 to 18, who are, or younger, who are all being pulled along. And the idea is, how quickly can we get to go across the front line and on. You know, it's a 560-mile, three-day journey, and this western city is 50 miles from the border with Poland. So if you're further back in the Ukraine, that's how far it would be to cross the whole thing. And it is a historic UNESCO World Heritage Site. And like I said, now it's a place for people who are displaced. And that main train station with a massive amount of people trying to move on to Poland or other areas in the Ukrainian West, there's, you know, about 152 buildings, as it's been described. I was reading a big story today on that. The schools, theaters, art galleries, they've been turned over to house people that have no place to go. And then people opening up their homes as well from, you know, the people who are under bombardment. So, you know, this is kind of a description of different parts of what you could see in the Ukraine, where the idea is how long does it take? How quickly can we get across the border? And you're starting to see snow in some areas. It's cold. You have people that have lots of kids with them, or other people that they're scared, they're tired, and they've got maybe a backpack, maybe some documents on them, and that's it. And they're moving because they're trying to get to safety and get away from bombs or the fighting or the any of the consequences of what this war brings. And I think, you know, in looking at this firepower, you have this convoy approaching the Ukrainian capital. But one of the things that has happened to that huge convoy is that they've run out of gas, and some of them have run out of the will to keep going. So that convoy that stretched 40 miles has hardly moved over the past day. They have fuel and food shortages. And you've got, you know, Ukrainian forces trying to hold on to some of their major cities that are being encircled by the Russian forces with artillery attacks that are intensifying maybe from the air. But you've got on the ground a lot of a convoy that is stalled. So at this point, you know, it's a question of how many people have died. And of course, the United Nations, we're into the seventh day of this, is saying that the deaths of more than 130 civilians would include 13 children since the beginning of the fighting last week. And most of that is because of shelling and rocket fire, but they believe the toll is far, far higher than what can be reported at this point, but it would be from what I just described. So Moscow has pushed into the Ukraine, you know, more than 80% of the combat power that they've been staging within Russian border areas and in neighboring Belarus in the last couple of months. So the idea is to cripple the government, of course, and then undermine that government and put in a pro-Russian government. And the Ukraine is fighting back. The people are fighting back. So there is kind of a invisible line, I think, that goes around in some of these areas, trenches and whatnot that have been dug, but how far can they hold them off? The thing that's interesting is what we've talked about the last couple of nights is these rounds of international sanctions against Russia. And that targeting of the central bank is much bigger than initially it looked because it's cut off the access to global financial markets. And European nations are uniting with other countries, and they're not, you know, they're cutting off Russia. And they're helping the Ukraine as far as some military support with weaponry, you know, whatever. And I think the fact that a lot of Russian people in other areas and are being cut off, and, of course, Russian travel, that also is cut off. I think that's one of the things Biden should have done sooner, but he announced it in the State of the Union, so airspace closed off or get it to and fro, Russia-wise. So will the trenches that have been dug and the barricades and the anti-tank rockets in the streets and the anti-aircraft guns, will they be enough in this sort of wild urban battle? More than I've mentioned some of the descriptions of what it's like for the people to flee, when the 600,000 people have reportedly left the Ukraine. Again, those are not hard numbers, but it's the numbers of people coming that can be counted as far as you can count on that number. But it's a lot. And they're trying to get to safety, like I mentioned, whether it's Poland or other neighboring countries. And then others who are there are finding that they're in basements or in subway stations. And one of the things that the president of the Ukraine has said is he's vowed that they will not yield to Russian firepower, and he's called for more Western aid, more aid from the West, and that aid comes in the form of weapons. You know, Germany opened its stockpiles, and even Finland, who they're normally very neutral, they agreed to chip in. So at this point, Biden, our president, before that State of the Union, spoke to Zelensky and said, you know, I think that what the Ukrainian president thought is there would be maybe more mention about the Russian aggression. And one of the things that Biden, of course, has ruled out is sending U.S. forces to fight in the Ukraine. There's obviously been the backup of NATO, as we've talked about, but there still is military aid and humanitarian aid that is pouring in from the U.S., so that's where we're at there. There was a Holocaust memorial in Kyiv that marked the site of the 1941 massacre that left tens of thousands of people dead, and an airstrike aimed at a TV tower had hit that memorial as well. And the footage, I mean, of all the footage I've seen, that is just a huge explosion. Five people were killed there, and it was kind of chaotic outside with the cars, and you could see buildings blown out, and you could see firefighters who were rushing to try to put out the flames of what happened there. So this is what's going on at this point. By the way, the Kremlin has denied targeting civilians and accused Ukrainian forces of using human shields. Coming up, the mailbag. You have plenty of thoughts on State of the Union, so some of you last minute sending me your thoughts, and what's happening in the Ukraine. We're going there next.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
President Joe Biden delivers his first State of the Union speech. Tim Berg reports.
President Biden is using his first State of the Union address to slam Russia's attack on Ukraine as war rages on Europe's borders.
Putin's latest attack on Ukraine was premeditated and totally unprovoked. He rejected repeated efforts at diplomacy. He thought the West and NATO wouldn't respond. He thought he could divide us at home, in this chamber, in this nation. He thought he could divide us in Europe as well. But Putin was wrong. We are ready. We are united, and that's what we did. We stayed united.
Also on Tuesday, oil prices surged, with U.S. crude hitting its highest level since June 2014. This is USA Radio News. Former President Donald Trump's legal team is appealing certain subpoenas. John Hunt reports.
Attorneys for former President Donald Trump have appealed a ruling that he and his two oldest children must testify in the investigation by the New York State's Attorney General into the family's business practices. Trump's attorney filed a notice of appeal nearly 2 weeks after a New York judge ruled on February 17th that the three Trumps must sit for depositions within 21 days. The Trump family had unsuccessfully tried to squash the subpoena for testimony, arguing it was improper for the Attorney General's office to issue those subpoenas for its civil investigation, while the Manhattan District Attorney's Office is still conducting its separate criminal probe.
Major League Baseball has canceled opening day. Commissioner Rob Manfred announced Tuesday the sport will lose regular season games over a labor dispute for the first time in 27 years. The league and the union have not made plans for future negotiations. You're listening to USA Radio News.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Once again, thanks so much for filling up the mailroom with all of your thoughts. 24/7, you can do it. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. More people are getting that. It's easy to remember that address. That's why, by the way, I have that address, right? You don't want to fumble around trying to figure out, what did she say? I can't remember what she said. But obviously, this is a smart crew, because whenever you're listening and wherever you're listening, you find it. This is from Doug, who says, hey, Kate, I was just sending you a quick email. I listened to the State of the Union address to let everybody know. I was a hardcore Republican. Now I feel like I'm a little bit more of an independent. I don't like a lot of what so-called Republicans stand for. I do care for some of what some of them stand for, so I feel like I need to be an independent, at least for now. I think what Joe Biden talked about is pretty much what you expect. It was the same old rhetoric that talked about a lot of domestic Democratic morsels that he hoped would be passed, and they were somewhat, in some cases, would be considered emotional, whether it's, you know, drug prices and the young boy that he pointed to, who couldn't be more adorable, by the way, and also child care and the cost of child care and all of that, and then talking about energy efficiency and whatnot. So it was kind of, I guess, what I expected, and I think you can find people that will rip the speech to shreds and others who will say, oh, it was the greatest, but it's all whatever their political leanings are. So from someone who's sort of sitting in the middle of this, although leaning definitely more on the Republican side, I would say it's okay. Of course, he tripped over a word, and all the idiots out there decided they were going to talk about his gaffe, because obviously he didn't mean to say what he said using Iranian people and instead of Ukrainian people and mumbling that. But that's what Biden, you know, does. So that's it's interesting to see that that became, I guess, the thing that a lot of people pointed out. So for me, it was okay. That's what I would say. Just okay. Nothing that lifted me up and made me think, oh, this is a guy that I have to vote for next time around. 3 more years. It's just wonderful. I didn't really think it was that kind of a speech at all. All right. Thanks for clarifying your stripes, if you will, which this audience is never shy about doing. And I always say it. I don't care what you label yourself as, but have an opinion. And so the opinion was, it was okay. Different from Joe, who's listening to us in Wisconsin, and he says, what a heap of nonsense, that State of the Union. I couldn't even listen. I heard a couple of key points that didn't really make any sense to me, and so I really basically turned it off. So much was about the economy, and it's the same thing that I've heard from Joe Biden since he took office over a year ago, and I did not vote for him, and he's pretty much been the kind of president I thought that he would be, and it, to me, is ineffective. And so we care, let's face it, about the economy and how the economy is recovering from the pandemic, and I think inflation, as you have talked about, Kate, is out of control and has affected many people when it comes to groceries and when it comes to gasoline. And this is the bottom line. When you're hurting, you're hurting, and you want answers because it comes fast and furious, and many people have mouths to feed, and even if they're single, they still have to go it on their own. And inflation is not at a good point right now, not at a good place, wouldn't you say? Oh, well, you said it. I talk about it all the time. Facing, you know, high food prices, gasoline, goods, whatever the goods are. I talked to a friend of mine that lives in California, and, you know, California always gets smashed the worst when it comes to gasoline, and she was telling me that for a gallon, it was almost $6 a gallon. And she's talking about that, you know what? The commutes in California can be crazy, especially in Los Angeles, because you get stuck in traffic. And she was talking about that she was probably the more fuel-efficient car. She was going to try to figure out that, you know, I might have to drive the fuel-efficient car instead of the car that I've sweat, blood, sweat, and tears over to drive. I might have to put that one away and go with the thing that I think will stretch the gallons of gas a little bit more at an crazy insane pace. And of course, $6 means she has to get the most premium of all, but then that means even for regular, it certainly is not cheap. And I think this is what people talk about. You know, it's the economy stupid, right? So if the economy is shutting down still in some areas and people are losing ground, that's what you feel, right? And you feel where the increase is. And what is the increase? The increase is about 5.7%, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. So that's a pretty fast rate, right? The activity there. But, you know, we're recovering. Again, we're recovering from the worst of the pandemic, but we're very, very far from recovered, and again, it comes with inflation really, really soaring. So that fastest pace is the thing that is sticking in the crawl of many, many, many people. All right, so we move now to Max. Max emails us every once in a while. Max said, "Hey, Kate, sorry I've been kind of off the grid. I'm juggling a couple of jobs, you know, that whole side hustle thing. That's what you do when you got to make ends meet. And I know you understand probably better than anyone else. I've heard you talk about moments of what you've had to do to survive in your career and in your life where you did that. And so I always tip my cap for you and your hard work. I find myself, of course, in that space too. I listened to the State of the Union, and I was, you know, not enthralled. I wasn't uplifted. I wasn't walking away from it as admittedly not a fan of Biden's, thinking, okay, maybe it's not quite as, he's not quite as bad as I thought. He is the same old Biden. He had a few gaffes, so maybe not as many as normal. And then I listened to the response from Iowa's governor, Kim Reynolds, and I think that's a tough place to be when you give the rebut to the State of the Union. But she made some good points, I think, when she said, instead of America moving forward, it feels like President Biden and his party have sent us back in time. And she called the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan under Biden's watch disastrous, which you've referred to before and so many others. And then she referenced the invasion of the Ukraine and called for unity and solidarity with Ukraine, but said we should ignore what's happening in the run-up to Putin's invasion. So she said that the weakness on the world stage has a cost, and the president's approach to foreign policy has consistently been too little too late. So they would be the main things that I picked out of what she had to say, and I would agree with that. And then the idea that you've got this reckless government spending, which has triggered the inflation that we all feel, and that you can't cover that up or sugarcoat that, because certainly that's something that has happened. Max, yeah, the things that you point out are right. I think for sure that the run-up to what's happened in the Ukraine was a weak response, and that is exactly what she said. And I think the other thing is the inflation, right? And that the looking at some of what's happened and some of what could have been, I think, counterbalance that hasn't happened is the thing that is pinching everybody. And I guess goes to why you were mentioning side hustles and why you haven't been around and whatnot. And that's what a lot of people have had to do, right, is the whole side hustle thing. Okay, let's go to another one. This one is from Sarah, who says, hey, Kate, I look at what's happening in the Ukraine, and I'm sad for the people who, as you said, thirst for democracy and freedom that many of us maybe take for granted. As much as we want to strangle each other and we're neighbor against neighbor so often, especially through this pandemic, there is no question we all have to agree that America is, as you have said, one of the greatest places to live on the face of the earth. Imagine if you lived in a place like the Ukraine and you were dealing with fleeing with the clothes on your back in the modern era. It would be more than tough, I would imagine. So I think Putin is a megalomaniac, again, a word that you use, and that he would be on anyone's enemy list, and he should be taken care of. And why hasn't somebody been able to get to Putin? And why has Russia been allowed to do what it's done? I mean, you know, just take a look at Vladimir Putin. He absolutely is villainous. I like that, villainous. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with anything you said there. I agree that he was amping up to invade, and he was circling, and we kept hearing the same things over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And, you know, now you have people hiding in bomb shelters, and you have others who are in trenches and trying to do everything they can. And, of course, we're all watching, and we'll see what the next move is. Hang with us.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Coming up, we have the mic drop as we round out this hour. You know, if you could only hear the conversations I have off the air with the amazing guys that I work with at the mothership in Minnesota, and I'll kind of peel back the curtain here. I was just having a little chit-chat with Jeremy Paulson, and he's coming up in our next hour for what we call, or what I call, Fair or Foul. When you look at some issue that we all face, whether it's kind of silly or whether it's a little more serious, and is it fair or is it foul? And just briefly, I mentioned to him the story, because, you know, everybody always talks about lottery fantasies in a sense, right? What would you do if you won $5 million, $3 million, $10 million in the lottery? And there was the guy, and we talked about this on the air, who won the lottery twice, and he did it through scratch-offs. And when I say he won the lottery, he won $10 million, and $10 million. He won $10 million, scratching it off. And then he won a second $10 million prize 3 years later, and that was just recently. And he said he was still trying to spend the first $10 million. Like, are you not the luckiest guy? I mean, are you kidding me? Right? And this is Juan Hernandez is his name in New York. So he said he's still trying to spend the first $10 million, and he won another $10 million. He took the lump sum in the most recent win. So just to give you an idea, and it was just him solo winning on the scratch-off, he has $6.51 million for the win. I mean, free and clear, right? What I like, it's interesting, is yay hooray, he used some of his first lottery winnings to help truck drivers struggling with debt during the pandemic. So he saw people struggling, and he knows what that's like, and that's what he did, and, you know, good for him. Because I guess it's true, like, what do you need if you live kind of simply, and maybe you do a few extravagant things, and then you help family members or people that have helped you or whatever it might be, what are you doing with the rest of it? You know, there's that old saying, although it seems when you're talking about that kind of money, money can't buy happiness. But in a sense, right, it's sort of true. And when you give, you get anyway. I really believe in that saying. So it's wild because the first one that he won, it was in 2019, and it was from this thing called Cash Spectacular. It was a scratch-off deal. And if you look at the astronomical odds of winning a lottery like that, he's in this crazy highest percentile of lucky people considering those odds. And then doing it again, right, is... wild, the fact that it was so quick. And you think about that, you're like, what? Are you kidding? I mean, wow. And I was looking at conspiracy theory ideas about him winning, and somebody said, don't you remember the McDonald's Monopoly scandal? And so this poor Long Island man, some people are thinking, well, there must be a scam. Somebody needs to look into that, because how could you, you know, to win once on a lottery scratch-off, wow, you're lucky, but doing it twice? Come on. So, you know, that seems odd. Let's hear it. I say, good for him, Betty. He doesn't, you know, he just looks like the everyday guy that you would see walking down the street, right? And good for him that he helped the truckers, etc. By the way, Jeremy said he would help certain members of his family, and of course, that's what you do, right? Look to your family and help them, and I would obviously do the same thing. And then I would probably travel or, you know, take the show to all those places. I said I would go on a wild tour with America Tonight and the crew, and you could all come out and see us. And I would feed whoever came out. We would just have one big party every place we go where all the affiliates are, and then even beyond that, I don't know, right? People can dream. So, to me, this is a mic drop moment. And what is the mic drop moment this time around? How about, talking about being lucky? There's a couple that were out at a seafood restaurant, right? So, lots of us go to seafood restaurants. They're in New Jersey. And they were eating at one of their favorite places, which, ironically, is my childhood favorite place. And I was even at a wedding there. I was a maid of honor at a wedding at this place. And my whole life, my mother took me here. It's where we used to go to the shore, where we used to go to the beach. And it's the Lobster House in Cape May, New Jersey. It's beautiful. If you like boats and you like fishing and you like that whole harbory scene, and Cape May is such an amazing place, and it's where I always go when I go back east. I always go at least see it and visit it, and it's kind of known for some neat things, like the Navy built a concrete ship, and they thought this concrete ship in World War II was going to withstand anything, and of course it sunk, and it's sticking up out of the water, and it's gotten lower and lower from the time when I was a kid, and it was much higher, and you could see it on the beach. But anyway, they're eating at my place, the Lobster House, and they've been eating there for 34 years, this couple, and they order a dozen clams on the half shell for an appetizer. So when the Hubs, Michael Spressler, is his name, when he bit into the last clam, he bit into something hard and thought he might have chipped a tooth. And he was, you know, down to the last one. And he looked at it on the fork, and it looked kind of heavy, and he didn't think anything of it. But then when he kept looking and looking, he realized that it was a pearl. And that pearl could be worth thousands of dollars. They said they didn't plan to sell the pearl, but this is a pearl. It weighs, or it measured, 8.8 millimeters. Yes, it would be worth a lot of money. Absolutely. I love this story. So she said she just wants to get it, the wife just wants to get it set in a piece of jewelry, in a nice piece of jewelry. She's saying, like, maybe something nautical, a mermaid or whatever. It's beautiful, and it'll make me remember that special day. And the Lobster House, my place, is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year. So how about a little mic drop for finding a pearl and some oysters? I love, 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 love what one of the people that runs the Lobster House said, that, hey, I've been here for 10 plus years, and you know, I've never heard of anyone finding a pearl in one of our oysters or clam shells. And I love that story for many, many reasons, but I like that she said, well, yeah, I'm just going to put it in a piece of jewelry. It's not going to, if it could be thousands of dollars and I could, you know, sell it, but nah, I'm just going to get it set in a piece of jewelry. So sweet. And then she'll always remember that, we thought he chipped a tooth, but instead it was this great big pearl. And, you know, some of you can probably relate to that whole idea, right, of having that favorite place that you went to as a kid, the restaurant, the place everybody talked about, and that was that place for my family. When you were at the beach, that's where you went, and it was that smell of the sea and the fresh lobsters that they brought in that were in those giant tanks and known for clams and mussels and shrimp and all that really super fresh seafood. When I read the story, I was like, boy, that really makes me want to get back on the water. And it made me think, coming full circle with the pandemic that is now, should I say, an endemic, and we're living with whatever happens next, and there's obviously drugs and things to combat what could happen to you of the worst, you know, knock on this microphone, but we're moving forward. And where is it that you really want to go? And I decided, you know where I really want to go? Cape May, New Jersey. I want to get back on the water somewhere. Just for like a long weekend, or, you know, maybe a couple more days than that. But I wonder if you have places like that that you're thinking about, like, oh, this is where I really want to go now. I've saved up with that side gig, or that three side gigs I have. Or I'm going to go work at Target, maybe in their corporate office, make $24 an hour and save it all up, and then I'll be able to take that long weekend. Are some of you thinking about that kind of stuff? I know, right? All right, the music means the silliness for this hour ends, and I got to get off the stage. Thanks for listening. Email me, kate@katedelaneyradio.com.
Those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life. I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.